amazing man of God. He is a special ed teacher, which is a unique gifted breed to begin with, and he's so great at what he does for those kids. A few months ago, he joined the offering rotation, which Bill and I were happy to share that, and he's good at it, a little too good. Also, you know, two years ago, when we saw this group of 6th, 7th, 8th grade, these kids coming up, because I, you know, 15 years ago, Philip back there was, I think, in the last batch, crawling with junior high and high school kids. So then we went down to the elementary, and that was where the bubble was. And then, as Courtney shared, here comes this group coming through of new high schoolers. And, you know, Aaron and I, talking to Kevin, decided that, no question, that the right people to lead this group would be David and Courtney. So they're doing such an amazing job every week with our high schoolers. And David is, he's very deep, you know, deep waters. And he has a heart for people. He has that pastor's heart, especially for his friends. He goes after you. You know, he will go after you. And it's such an honor to know him, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. David.
Thanks for that, Mike. I think in my initial reaction to doing the youth, though, was like, I'm sure there's somebody else that would want to do that. Courtney was all about it, and then eventually I came around. I feel like that's most how I do most things in my life. I say no at first, and then I end up doing it, and then I end up getting a burden for it. So as I was preparing yesterday, Courtney, we're gonna move this mic. Courtney, she mentioned she wasn't feeling good, so I was at the house, I was at the computer working on what I was gonna share, and Connor's, they're playing on the floor in the living room, and Connor starts crying, and so I grab him, and I bring him back to the table where I'm working. He's content, I'm rocking him. And then Reese comes over. I'm trying to study, you know, I'm trying to get into Christian mode, you know, like really dial it in. And Reese comes over and she's like, "What you doing, Dad?" I was like, I'm speaking to the people tomorrow at church, so I'm trying to find out what God wants me to say." And she goes, "What you gonna say to the people?" And I said, "I don't know. What do you think I should say?" And she goes, "Maybe when I peed my bed." And I go, "What? Why would I say that?" She goes, "Because the people will laugh. They think it's funny." I was like, "Yeah, you're right." And she was right. That'll also explain if I, midway through, start belting out in Moana songs, because that was going on midway through, too, and those songs are so catchy. All right, so last week, Robert Grant here. Last week was just an amazing weekend. It was an amazing Sunday. So much history. It was great to see my mom and dad honored. And Robert Grant's, when he spoke, he talked about legacy. He said our spiritual heritage and how we are joining in and receiving a legacy that goes way back to the early church, to the Reformation, to the many movements of God, and then to our own lives today. He mentioned that this is his quote. We are fruit of a message that faith handed down. Somewhere through someone, you received the start of your legacy because someone in your life was faithful in response to the Holy Spirit. He said, we're standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. That really resonated with me. And so with that on my mind and just kind of rattling around last week and preparing this week and just praying about what I feel like God was speaking to my heart, I felt like he asked me three questions, and it was formed around this random memory I had. It wasn't impactful at the time of when Courtney and I were in Africa back in 2007, and for whatever reason, this memory popped into my mind, and I feel like when God does that, you should write this stuff down because I feel like that there's a pattern, and so I said that last time I spoke, I did the same thing. I'd have a thought about God or what he was doing in my life, and I just opened my notes app. And I'd write it down, Africa memory. And then you could start to see what God was saying to me through this time. So I'll get to that memory later, So I have three questions for you, and I want to preface this that I'm not the expert. These are questions God was asking me. And so I want you to know that this is something I'm working through. It's for me as much as it is for you. So the first question is, in reflecting back on last week, first question would be, what has God, or what have you been given from God? What have you been given from God? Or you could say, what have you received from God? We could pull up 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 7. So it says, no, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been given and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. So we have not received the spirit of the world. But the Spirit, and this is in the NIV, so hopefully it's the same. But it says, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So as I'm reading this, a certain portion jumps off the page at me. And that part in verse 12 where he said, but the Spirit who is from God was sent to us. I thought I knew this. You know, like this is another revelation as you're reading. You'll have these things you think you know. And then God reveals it in a deeper way. But I thought I knew this, and it hit me. It's powerful that God and the Father sent his Spirit. It was sent from God to me. The same Spirit, it says that's the Spirit that knows the thoughts of God. The same Spirit that knows the thoughts of God was sent to me. I mean, that's an amazing, powerful thought. And that's what we've received. We've received the Spirit that knows the mind of God, not the spirit of the world. And that's, I can't get my mind around it, but I know it's powerful. And it had me thinking about if I was going to send a package to somebody, I'd get a box, put whatever I was going to get it, and I can't just take it down to the post office and just throw it in there and hope it gets to where it needs to go. What do you need to do? You got to put an address. You got to buy a stamp, right? You have to write a who it's going to. So it costs something. There's direction. It's personal. You're sending something personal. I'll say too, there's a flip side to that, and there's a certain response on the other end. Whoever's receiving that package has to do what? Has to open it to do what? See what's inside, right? So the person that opens it has to, or who receives it has to open it and explore everything that is inside of it. Can you guys see a comparison in our lives to that? The Spirit was sent to us. We have a responsibility to explore that. So moving on to verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities in a spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, but consider them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So I was talking to somebody recently about faith, or not that recently, but this year, and he asked me this question. He said, how do you have such blind faith? Which, I don't know how you guys would answer that if somebody just asked you that. So my response was, I cannot explain spiritual realities to someone who has a spirit of the world in them. No, kidding. That's not. That's not how I respond. I just said, hey, I've seen God's work in my life, intangible, physical. I've seen miracles. I've seen things happen. I've seen lives saved, marriages saved. I've seen it happen. I don't know what to tell you, but I've seen God's work. So I've tasted it and I've seen that God is good. And, you know, and I was going to say too, I just made a note here that there's no argument there. There's no rebuttal to that. Your story, God's hand in your life, there's no argument to, people can't argue with your story because it's personal. You've experienced it. So never be afraid to share your story because God's hand has been in your life. And it could, if you withhold your story and God's hand specifically in it, you could be robbing them of something that God has given to you. Ephesians 1. Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? With every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of glorious grace, which he has freely given us to the ones he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect in the times to reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and under Christ. So God's grace he lavished on us. So I'm going to ask John, our professor, English professor, lavish. How would you define that? Close.
Thank you. I had a feeling I was walking into the
You were close. So yeah, from the Greek. So it's to expend or give in great amounts or without limit. To cover something thick or liberally with. And for whatever reason, I had a picture of a car cover. You know, car covers, they go on cars. They usually go on what kind of cars, though? Sports cars or old cars to do what? To protect it and cover it. But I was thinking about, you don't know what's under that car cover. So you could have a rusty old junk mobile, but when that cover's on, it's just you thinking it's a classic car because it's covered by this cover. And God's grace for us is covering us, whatever we look like underneath. And it's protecting us from dings or scratches or whatever, but he's lavished us with his grace. I just love that word. His grace is over you. So whatever condemnation or whatever you're feeling, God's grace covers you. So we don't see that. God's goodness is there. So we have been given a spirit who is from God. The spirit is dwelling in those that have received him. We've been given redemption and salvation from our sins through Christ, and God has given us his grace that he lavished upon us. So those are what we've received. Those are what he's given us. There's another element to this, and this is leading into the second question, is that God wants us to ask him for the desires of our heart. So the second question is, what have you asked God for? What have you asked God for? There's a role we play for whatever reason. I don't get that. This always baffles me. Any story you read that you could think about, the blind man that walks up and Jesus says, "What do you want?" That always makes me laugh because I'm always thinking the guy's just like pointing at his eyes, you know, like, but he wants him to say, "I want to see." I don't understand how that works, but he wants to hear that from us. So there's a role we play in this relationship. So I'm going to show a clip here in a second. And so you guys might know when I'm explaining what movie it is, but so previously to this clip, Joan has been frustrated with her husband, Evan, who has recently won a seat in Congress. She's frustrated because he's constantly working and never with the family. Then one day, God speaks into Evan's life and tells him to build an ark. Now she's frustrated at all the strange behavior and activities Evan is doing at their house ever since God spoke to him, constantly asking the family to help him build this giant ship in their front yard. So let's go ahead and... We'll do this first. I'm so flexible, it's not even a big deal. All right, so there's this response that we have to ask God for something. I could have put 75 verses up here that talk about how God wants us to ask. So you can look at Mark 11:24. It says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it. Matthew 7, ask and it'll be given to you. James 4:3, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your passions. John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Philippians 4:6, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. John 15:7, abide in me. Ask whatever you wish. Matthew 21:22, ask in prayer and you will receive it. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So there's literally so many verses in the Bible that are giving direction for us to ask. So if we have the clip, we can roll that. I love that clip. I remember when I saw that movie in the theater, that hit me deeply. I was laughing most of it, and then that came and was like, wow, yeah, be careful what you ask for. If you ask to be more loving, that may put you in some tough situations. To be more loving. I don't know why there's a ping pong ball up here. That's random. So if you want more of God, ask him. If you want peace, ask him. If you want provision, ask him. Wherever you feel you're lacking, ask him. If you want to be a better friend, ask him. If you want to be a better neighbor, ask him. People that frustrate you or you have a burden for, ask God for help on how to go about it. So, first two questions, or what have you received, was the first one. The second one was, have you asked? So the last question is, what do you do now? Or better yet, are you allowing God in your life in a way that you are using what he has given you to impact the kingdom of God? Are you allowing God in your life Are you allowing God in your life in a way that you are using what he has given you to impact the kingdom of God? Now, we just talked about how he's given us the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit that knows the mind of Christ. We know that we can ask, and we've been given grace and redemption, freedom of our sins. So what do we do now? So a quick story, I recently was at the grocery store. I had to pick up specifically bib lettuce to make some carb-free fish tacos. Pretty good. So I'm going to find this bib lettuce, and I go to the produce aisle, and I'm looking, and the misters turn on and get me wet, and then they don't have the bib lettuce. And I'm instantly like, this is so first world problems, right? Like, these misters that keep your cabbage at a perfect moisture level, I'm so frustrated by. And they don't have bib lettuce here. This is so annoying. So I had to go to another store. But it's funny, though, in this moment is when I had this memory that I mentioned earlier back in Africa. It came rushing to my mind for whatever reason. So Courtney and I had the opportunity to go to Zimbabwe back in 2007. It greatly impacted our lives. Zimbabwe at the time, still, is really a depleted nation. I mean, back then, I haven't looked at what it is now, it was 90% unemployment rate in the entire country. So you line up 100 people, 10 people have a job, and you can go out from there. I mean, the country was desolate. And the average life expectancy was 35, 36 for women, I think. You didn't see any gray-haired people walking around. Rape and robbery, and it was just everywhere. But Courtney and I had this amazing experience. We just felt like God's love everywhere we went. We would go to these orphanages, and we'd get out of the car, and we would literally have to brace ourselves because these kids were going to knock us over. Anybody that's been to Africa knows that feeling. They're so excited. You've never met happier kids in your life. They're not letting their circumstances dictate their joy. And they have some stories, that's for sure. So the memory I had was during that trip, at some point, I can't remember why, but we had to go to the market to get some bread, I think, I don't know if that was for us or to make sandwiches for somebody else. I don't remember that. But I remember walking into the store. So we walk into the store, and it was hot, and just kind of, I just remember thinking this is not a comfortable place. There's flies in it. It was a big grocery store, though, just like our Ralph's. But there was nobody in there. There was no food on the shelves. There were like a few sparse cans of stuff, you know, some dried goods and stuff like that. And because of the man that the organization we were working with knew somebody, they had saved a loaf of bread for us. And so we go into this grocery store. There's nobody there. There's no food on the shelves. We get our bread, and I leave. And I remember at the time thinking, man, that's so sad. But what impacted me in regards to what we're talking about today is that the store wasn't being used for what it was built for or what it was needed for, to feed the community. And the reason it wasn't operating the way it's supposed to be is because the circumstances outside of the store were not allowing it. I just mentioned it was empty because of mass corruption and injustice that was taking place in the country. The events and activities outside the store, were not allowing the store to provide an environment like it was supposed to do. Can we make the same comparisons in our lives? We've been given something to give. Are we allowing outside in circumstances, stressors, whatever those may be, from doing what we're supposed to do? Are we allowing outside elements such as sin, lack of intention, work, time, trials, tribulations? Are we allowing outside elements impact how you are using what God has and wants for you in his kingdom? Don't let that happen. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. This circumstantial stuff, you have power and authority over that. Don't allow that to lock up the gifts that God has given you. And these gifts that God has given you are not for you, they're partially for you. But they're for other people. God's given you good gifts to give to other people. Just as Robert shared, some faithful person intervened in your life at some point. Now that burden is on you. The responsibility is on you. So Luke 12:48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked for. So this is most commonly known, was it Spider-Man? Yeah. To whom much is given, much is expected. You guys have been given a lot. I'm just going to say, you guys have. I've been given a lot. According to this verse, there's an expectation on my life. What God has given me, there's an expectation for me to do something with that. I Now, I feel like I could go so a few different ways, but I think I'm just going to just wrap it up. I think as I was formulating my thoughts, I just kind of came away with God has given us a lot. He's given me a lot. Spiritual and natural. He's given me a lot. I need to be thankful for that. And I needed to think about that. And then I was thinking, gosh, I haven't really asked God for certain things in my life in a while. I need to get back to asking God for things, or attributes. Not things is the wrong word, but attributes that I feel like I want to develop. And then I need to do something where it's so easy to get stuck in autopilot. I know I'm not the only one that you just go through your daily routines of work and family, and you're being a good father and wife and kid. But you wake up at the end of the week and you realize, I haven't asked God for anything this week. So I want to encourage you to think about those three questions. So closing thoughts. We do have a responsibility to do something with what we've been given. Do you want what God wants to give you? Do you want what God wants to give you? Do you want others in your life to receive all that God wants for them? The legacy we received shouldn't stop with us. We have a responsibility to pick up the flag and carry it further. He's waiting to be wanted. He wants you to talk to him. He has good things prepared for those who love him. And his love for you is personal. It's personal. He sent his spirit personal to you, just like the package we described. It had intention and a purpose. His intention is on you. And then lastly, what do we do now? Thank you. Amen.